we love Him, He's part of us. And we have seed in this ground. Amen? Praise God. So, Andrew, would you come, please? And hallelujah. It's good to see you, my friend. Amen. Amen. He is good.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, God's bigger than any problem, bigger than any sickness, bigger than any disease, bigger than any health problem. Amen. There's a verse I stand on quite often. Everybody's mind and hearts, you can still sense, is toward this lady. What's her first name again?
Jeanette.
I want to read this to you. Just go over there, Isaiah 58:8, and then we'll pray and get into my things that the Lord's had in my heart. But Isaiah 58:8 is for Jeanette. Is that right? Isaiah 58:8, if you got a Bible, this is a good thing to mark and stand. I've stood on this for myself, especially for my two boys. And so the devil is defeated. And right in the middle, right in the face of problems, you point a finger in his face. And you say God's word. And when you say God's word, God does what he says. All you got to do is believe what God's word says, say what he says, and guess what he does? He does what he says.
Amen.
Amen. That's faith. That's faith. And we say for Jeanette, we're going to read this together here. It says, "Then shalt thy light break forth as the morning." This is not just healing. This is light. Amen. They go together. There wasn't a light on her face a while ago, but you could already see color coming back. She gave the thumbs up. So we pray, Father, your word. This is your word. This is not my word. This is your word. Your word says to put you in remembrance of your word. And so we bring this back to you. And we say, we ask for Jeanette's light to break forth as the morning.
Yeah.
We ask that her health spring forth speedily in Jesus' name. Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's lift up our hands. Let's stand up and thank God for Jeanette's healing. Thank you, Father, that her light's breaking forth as the morning and her health is springing forth speedily. There's people in here that need healing. We thank you that their health is springing forth speedily. Thank you that light's coming back. Health's coming back. Jeanette's coming all the way back in the name of Jesus. And devil, we call you out. You try to disrupt and distract, and in Jesus' name, we forbid you to touch her health. You get off of her. You loose her and let her go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Say, God, you are good. You are the healer. You're the healer. You're my healer. You're good to me. You heal me. I receive my healing now. You're good to me. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Now grab somebody's hand right there next to you. Let's pray. And because I really hope you didn't just come to hear Andrew talk about Mongolia, but I really hope you came to hear something from God.
Amen.
And you only can get that from Him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, hold my hand, Mr. Barry. In the name of Jesus, we agree and we ask, Father God, for help this morning. We acknowledge you. Your word says we're two on earth are gathered together in my name there. Am I? So you're here. We acknowledge you. We thank you for being here. Thank you for your word, but we ask for your help. We ask for your anointing and grace to teach and minister and work and do and lay hands, whatever you have us to do. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name, we ask for boldness to speak as we ought to speak, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Shake hands with somebody. Say, I'm glad you're here today. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Praise God.
God is good.
God is good. He's good. He's good. God is good. Well, I'm glad to see y'all. I haven't seen everybody, this is home to us. Lacey and the boys couldn't be with me. They had obligations in Tulsa. And so I'm traveling, won't stay at mom and dad's, but they're taking really good care of me. They know how to do stuff like that. They've done that times four. You know? It's been a lot of fun. Mom and dad, would y'all stand up, please? I've got the best parents in the world. And the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so, you know, Brother Jay, I drive a truck. Mainly, I work on a farm, but mainly I drive a truck for them. Occasionally, I work, use equipment and own tractors and stuff. When they let me, I get on a bulldozer, which I really like. And but anyway, when I can't do that, I drive a truck. And so I'm coming up from Oklahoma City. I spend my time going to Tulsa to Oklahoma City a lot. And then I just got to crying, brother. And I said, Lord, you know, I was a terrible teenager. And I was terrible to my parents. And I had good raising. I started crying. I said, I need help. And your word says to honor your father and mother.
Yeah.
That don't just stop when you turn 18.
No, it doesn't.
And it don't stop when you graduate high school or college. You are to still honor them. So I said, teach me. I got some time here. Teach me how to honor them. And so he's giving me things. And so when I come back, I'll stay with them and try to do some work. I almost have to fight Daddy because he don't want to let me do it. But you know I ain't going to fight him. But he's such a giving man. And he's always doing and doing. And so I want to help him, you know, do stuff. Yeah. Stuff that he needs help on. And so it's not too late to honor your parents. So I'm learning that. But I'm thankful for my roots. Thankful for where I come from.
Yes.
See Mr. Roy earlier. I see people from Pontotoc. I see people from South Pontotoc in here now. I get real specific. You know, you should. You don't just say Pontotoc, you say South Pontotoc. Very important part right there.
Yeah.
So I appreciate my roots. And, you know, I apologize for being such a, you know, hellion when I was younger. But I ought to be evidence that God is merciful.
Right.
And I ought to be evidence. I'm going to tell this, Brother Roy. I was in Pontotoc one day, and I ran into this teacher of mine that I had. Bless her heart. God gives extra grace to teachers in schools and for kids, especially like myself. And so I ran into her, and she said, Andrew, she was like this shocked look on her face. You know what I'm saying? You're a minister now. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm just as shocked as you are. God will use anybody. That's what I told her. So God's merciful, you know. He took a serial killer. He took a killer. You could say serial killer. You could say a murderer of Christians. His name was Paul. Turned him into one of the greatest missionaries that the world's ever known.
Yes.
Wrote half the New Testament. So thank God he's merciful.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
if I didn't only encourage anybody, it encourages me. I get to cry. As I go through the list of people, I feel like, you know, God could tap on the shoulder to tell them to go to Mongolia. And I'll go through my brothers, and I'll list them off to God, and I'll go through other people. I said, this one right here is better educated. This one meets the public better. This one doesn't have a past, you know. And the Lord don't change his mind. And Brother Levi Tackett, could you come here, please? I'm going to do this because I know the Lord wants me to. But the scripture says that, and I didn't mean that, but I know the Lord wants to minister to you. The scripture says, brother, that God does not, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. The Amplified helps me out because I don't talk old English. He says, God does not change his mind once he gives a gift, and he doesn't change his mind about the person that he gave it to. And there's a gift and calling on your life. The devil's not going to steal it, and it's still in you. And look, we need that calling. We need that grace. We need that anointing. And so in the name of Jesus, peace be unto this man. I speak it over him. Confusion, anything that's hindering him, anything bothering him, get off of him in the name of Jesus. And I speak life and light to this man. And I say, gift, come forth in the name of Jesus and be all that you're called to be. Step up and step in and come out and go further. See more and do more. Come into a life that you just didn't even dream you could have.
Amen.
More peace, more life, more joy, more contentment.
Yeah.
But the future's brighter.
Yeah.
And look at me. He's going to give you double for trouble. Amen. For your shame, you'll have double honor. Amen. 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 Bless. All right. Amen. 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 I want to, obviously just got back from Mongolia, praise God. You know, people will say, you know, I was laughing, Brother Jimmy talking about, picking Mongolia. Glory to God. I was walking, I walk at this track by the house, and I haven't lately, to be honest, but I've been, I like to walk, and it's, you know, good for you, but I also enjoy it. And this lady was asking me, she was a Christian, and she was actually witnessing to me, Dina, and I didn't ever tell her, you know, I just was taking what she had. It was good stuff. And I said, praise the Lord, sister. Yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, and I got to talking to her. And she found out about Mongolia, and then the lady with her, actually this was a separate day, she said, Mongolia. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, why did you pick Mongolia? I said, I did not.
That's right. That's right.
I didn't pick it. I said, I didn't pick Oklahoma. I didn't pick Grandma. I'd still be back in Mississippi with my coon dogs, you know, doing my little short, small vision thing. God's got more for us.
That's right.
And he wants us to lead us into that, but we've got to let go of some stuff to hang on to what, or grab a hold of what he has for us. Amen. But I said, God picked that. And then I got over there. And, sister, it's cold. Emerald, it's cold. That Sunday morning, we was going to have two services, you know, praise the Lord. Negative 26 degrees. Hallelujah. I had to walk from the hotel to the church over there, and I told that pastor, I said, listen, and I was having to translate through, a lady was translating. I said, you tell the pastor that this has to be God. Because there's no way. Well, I said, I don't like cold weather. So this has to be God sending me over here. But, you know, as a little boy, I used to coon hunt at night, and my mom would get worried about me, and I would, I'd go out, and she'd say, I don't like you going out in the dark by yourself. I said, well, I'm not by myself. God's with me, and I got angels. Hey, man, am I telling the truth? I walked close to God, brother, when I was young. I got born again at 7, knelt down in their living room floor, asked Christ in my heart, baptized right before my 8th birthday, and then I walked real close to God for about 4 or 5 years. And he, one night coon hunting, I was out there looking at the stars, and he dealt with me about being a missionary to Asia. And I got scared of that. And I didn't think he had the right person then. And then, I hope the young people are listening, I believed a lie. The devil sold me a lie. He'll sell you a lie. I didn't think that you could serve God and have fun. So I decided to have fun the world's way. I'd done everything you could think of, except for homosexuality and drugs. Everything else, I tried it. And I was miserable. I was miserable because the whole time I'm out there doing my thing, I got conviction on the inside. And I eventually started yielding to that. It took me too long. But when you get out there in the flesh and in the world, you dull spiritually. You dull down. We can do it as Christians. You get out of the spirit and too fleshly, you'll dull down spiritually. You get to watching church online instead of being in church in person, you'll dull down spiritually. You quit paying your tithes like Brother Jimmy was saying last week, you'll dull down spiritually. You pull away from the herd and start doing your own thing, because I can hear from God myself, you will dull down spiritually. And then the enemy knows it. It didn't happen overnight. 6 months, year, 2 years, next thing you know, you're out here away from the flock. He wants to separate you from the flock and from your call. It dulled me down, so it took me time to get back. It wasn't on God's end. Don't take him much time at all. It's what he has to work with. He can only work with the material he's got to work with. The more of him you give, the more he can work with. So I came back, and then so I went to, eventually I was going to a little Baptist church and got hungry for God, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, talked in tongues. Yeah, I'm one of those. I talk in tongues. I'm glad for it. I talked in tongues this morning. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost, talked in tongues, December of 2011, going to my barn to turn the horses out, and then that got off on my wife, Lacey. I come in from that next spring. I was trying to teach her the best way I knew how. And then I come in from hauling hay, Brother Jay. She's smiling, got this light on her face. She said, I just got through praying in tongues. I said, yep. And so within the year, we go to Rhema. I go to Bible school, and guess what happens? I'm in prayer, and all the stuff about being a missionary in Asia comes back. Comes right back to the surface. God never forgot it. He brought it right back. And so I had over, this has been in me for quite some time. Asia. And then the last 3 years, specifically, Mongolia. And then last year, I should say, this is going to be about a year and a half ago, it's going to be December 2021, God said, go check things out. Well, I drug my feet on that and prayed about that for a whole year before I actually went. Because I used to make the mistake of you get something in your spirit and you feel like you need to, that needed to be done yesterday. But sometimes you need to pray this thing out, lay some track, and get some more answers and light, then step. And that's what I've done. And so this year, when I took the trip, this has been years in the making, you could say. I just needed to give you a backdrop. But the Rhema in me, you can thank Rhema for this. Thank God for Rhema. Wants to give you a little word basis for the trip and why we go. I have people ask me questions. Actually, they ask my wife the questions. And I don't like that because it'll be men that think they're men and they're only men when they're around women. But when they get around men, they can't ask those same questions. So they're not really a man. They're just a male. You know what I mean? And so why not ask me the hard questions? You know, maybe I get off the soapbox before I get in the flesh myself. Anyway, I want to give a good scriptural basis for why do you go to Mongolia. Let's go to Matthew 24. We're not going to go just too long, but we want to cover some of these things. Kind of lay a scriptural background to this. The people will ask questions. Well, and they'll say stuff. Bless. Like what did Brother Hagin used to say? Brother Jimmy, he'd say, bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads. Yeah. Nobody in this church probably asked me these questions because y'all are more educated in the Word. Amen. Matthew 24, it's got so much. And you know, in our world and society, got a lot of prophecy going around. But always hang on to your Bible. Yeah. It's a more sure word of prophecy. That's Scripture. So every prophecy you hear, you need to judge by the Word. But Jesus, out of all the people that would know about end times, you think maybe He would know something about end times? He does. He's actually the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, so He does know. This is Him here. Let's read a few verses here. Let's read the first 14 verses just to lay a foundation of where we're going. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon the other, and there shall not be thrown down. He said upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us. Y'all read the next word for me. When. And what you'll hear in prophecy right now, 2023, you'll hear a bunch of when. You'll hear people asking when. I've had Christians ask me when. I have had pastors ask me when. I don't know. And they don't either. That's the wrong question to ask. And I had this brother pin me down one time. I was delivering him a load of dirt. We're out in his yard, and he's one of these eschatology guys, and I'm not really an eschatology guy, so he could really just school me on that. But I said, brother, I don't think it's important to know when He comes. I think what's important is what we do until He comes. We're supposed to occupy till He comes, focusing on the wrong thing. But the enemy, he will get you focused on that. He's trying to ever. He's a master of destruction. Anything that he could get to get your attention off. What we're supposed to do is focus on what God told us to do until He comes, whenever that is. Either He comes or we go by the way of the grave, we're ready. We've done our part. Amen. Amen. We didn't spend a bunch of years and time wondering when He's coming. We were busy doing what He told us to do. Amen. All right, so He says, when? Verse 4, let's go on down it. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the number one sign of the end times is deception. It's all over the place. We've got to keep going. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's deception again. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That sounds like us now, don't it? See that you be not troubled. What I do when people talk about this stuff, and let's do something relevant that just happened recently when they talk about Memphis, Tennessee, I just say, I'm not troubled. just not troubled by it. That'll offend some folks, but I'm not troubled. You can be troubled. I'm not troubled. Amen? I'm not troubled. For all these things come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences. You dig in this. Our friend, Brother Rick Renner, he'll dig in this. He'll tell you this means diseases old and new. You could put COVID-19 in there. And earthquakes, diverse places, all these are the beginning. Somebody say beginning.
Beginning.
We don't want to hear that, but that's what Jesus said. All these are the beginnings of the sorrows, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. There's deception again. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold or grow cold. But he that endures to the end shall be saved, or the same shall be saved. Verse 14, that's what we're trying to get to. We're laying a foundation here. Verse 14, why is God waiting so long? Why is all this stuff going on? Why hasn't he come back? You'll hear, I'll just say it, immature Christians say, I just wish the Lord would come back and get us. Well, you're immature. You need to grow. I love you, but you need to grow. You got your mind on the wrong thing, because you're here in this time for a reason, while it is dark, and you're graced to live in this end time. We're graced for this.
Yes, we are.
Amen. He knew when we'd be here.
That's right.
No matter how dark it gets, that means our light should shine brighter. Why is he waiting? Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then, somebody say then.
Then
the end shall come. He wants it to get to every nation. Amen. So this gospel belongs to every nation. Amen. Belongs to every nation. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. That's why we go to Mongolia. It's got to go to every nation. I'm going to say it. It's got to go to China. It's got to go to every province of China. Don't let China scare you. That thing right there is going to fall on its face. And the gospel is going in there. Jesus said it's going. Every nation's going to hear it.
That's right.
He's going to do his word. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Is that what I said? Acts, Romans chapter 1. Let's lay a little bit more foundation here. Verse 14. Y'all with me here? If you're there, say Jesus. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. You'll see it covers everything, covers everybody, every group. Such as in me is, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Y'all say everyone.
Everyone,
everyone that believed, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Who does the gospel belong to?
Everyone.
Everyone. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, please. Mark chapter 16. Lay some more foundation here. Thank God for the word, right?
Amen.
So they ask questions, why Mongolia? Well, it's got to go there. The gospel has got to go there. My job in the body of Christ is not to get so distracted by the wars and famines. And it's not that we don't pay attention. It's not that we hide our head in the sand. But that is not our focus. And let me just get on it. Let me just step in this. This is meddling a little bit. But if all you focus on is the media, And the corruption that's in the government and in the leadership and in the White House and in what all is going on, I know it's corrupt. I know things are going on. It's from corruption in Mongolia. They were praying for that. But if that's all I'm not saying that you don't should know, but if that's your whole focus, you're in error. Because the focus is the gospel to the kingdom, every nation. That's the focus. I'm not saying you don't get involved in these things, and we should be involved in them. And I think Christians should be involved in politics and should be spirit-led into offices. Amen?
Yeah.
Somebody was telling me of somebody here that's running for Senate. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That should be happening.
Yeah.
So I am not saying that. You understand that. But what I am saying is keep the main thing the main thing. The only way you do that is find out the man, which is God, the Father, this is his priority.
Yeah. Right.
The gospel going to every nation. Going to everyone. Everybody say everyone.
Yeah.
Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said this, and he said, go ye into how much of the world? All the world, and preach the gospel. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, and you'll see a picture of this. I know we're going to a lot of scriptures, but you know, hey, it's all right. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Y'all good?
Good.
We can take a little more scripture here.
Sir.
We go to Mongolia because they need to hear.
Right.
And you can't receive Jesus unless you've heard about him.
That's right.
This sister, we make so many excuses about churches and not coming to church and all this, but this Pickett family, they're Rhema bunch. You know where they're missionaries to, Brother Jerry? Northern Iran. All right, Northern Iraq, excuse me, Northern Iraq. You know how many kids they got? Five. And they just came to Rhema. They visited. They prayed with us. Guess where they're at now? Northern Iraq. And they're serving. And this little lady, the wife, come in, and you're thinking, my gosh, hero for Jesus here. All right, she sits down. She just starts crying. She said, "The Muslim people, we don't need to think that they don't. All of them have rejected Jesus." She said, "Some of them, many of them, have never heard Jesus." That's a good heart for a missionary. She said, "Well, they've got to hear about him. They're in there and they're smuggling Bibles into places and getting the word out and getting Brother Hagin's books in there, and they're doing the work of God. Because every nation's got to hear."
Right.
Amen. Here's a picture of them preaching the gospel. Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, he stands up. Acts 2, verse 36 says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, and you've crucified him, both Lord and Christ." Y'all with me here? Acts 2, verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." You always know when somebody's anointed or a word's anointed when it pricks your heart.
Right.
"And it says unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized." Everyone? Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
"Every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remissions and the sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." For watch this. Verse 39. Watch it. "For the promise is unto you." Some parents need to hear this one. "Your children."
Yeah.
Don't let off of that until
right.
You see all of your children
right.
In church. Amen. "Your children and to all that are far off, even as many of the Lord our God shall call." Let's go to Revelation 7. We're good?
Yeah.
Revelation 7, we see a picture. We fast forward into the future. The Apostle John is on the Isle of Patmos. He has a vision. The Lord tells him several different things. He writes the book of Revelation, but he also sees heaven. Look what he sees here in Revelation 7, verse 9. John says this, Revelation 7, 9, if you're there, say Jesus. "After this I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne. And before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and under the Lamb." Let's look at verse 9 again. All nations, all kindreds, people, tongues stood before the throne. Let me read you another translation of that. It says, this is the easy to read version. "Then I looked, and there was a large crowd of people." There were so many people that no one could count them all. They were from every nation, tribe, race of people, language of the earth. This gospel is supposed to go to everybody, every tribe. Not just every nation, but every tribe. And then within those tribes, you've got different dialects. God covers the whole thing, every language. He gets all of them. Amen. Everybody would have heard by the time he's waiting. The Bible says he's waiting. He's not slow. He's patient. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Amen? To receive the former and latter rain. Now, let's go to Matthew 28. What do we do now? Because here's the thing I want you to see if we don't go any further. That there's a twofold purpose or a two-sided thing to preaching the gospel. When we think preaching the gospel, we think telling. What is the gospel? The good news. You tell them the good news that Jesus died for them, right? But there's many, many people that hear that news, they accept that news, but what do we do with them now? This is the other side of the gospel. Matthew 28, y'all there with me? Matthew 28 and verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and teach." Somebody say teach. Now you need to learn something. You're brought into God's family. You're born again. Now you need to be taught. So we go to Mongolia to reach the unreached. We go where Christ is not named. It's 93% Buddhist. There's 2-3% Christianity. I think, brother, I might have seen all the Christians that were there. They were all in that one city, in that one cathedral, that one night. And that might have been it. 2-3% of, and then there's not a lot of people in the nation, about 3.3 million. That's about the same as the state of Oklahoma. It's not that many people for a nation. 2-3% of that's not much. And so we go to teach, well, we go to preach to the unreached, to the unbelievers. But once they receive, we go to the other side of the gospel, and that's teaching. You got to learn something. Look at your neighbor and help them out and say, you need to learn something. Amen? That never stops, does it? If it does, you're wrong. Yeah. You'll never get to where you know it all. Let me give you a definition of pride, can I? Pride in the Proverbs 6 says God hates a proud look. You know what the Amplified Classic says? Pride is overestimation of yourself and underestimation of everybody else. If you think you've got it all together spiritually and everybody else don't, you're following a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. There's another spirit being out there in the spirit world that thought he was brighter than God, actually wanted to exalt himself above God. Anytime you find yourself exalting yourself, guess what you're finding yourself following? Not the Holy Spirit. The wrong spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. The Holy Spirit speaks what he hears heaven say. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not draw attention to me. It draws attention to him. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 20. All right, let's do 19 and 20 together. Go therefore and teach all nations. Somebody say teach. Baptizing them in the name of the Son and the Father and the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Say, teaching them. You got to learn something. Amen? Now, in light of that right there, let's just step into this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll go a little bit further here, and then we'll try to wrap things up here. I don't want to go too late. I got a gift this morning from my precious aunt. She's here. And she gave me a compass. And this goes with the message. When I looked at it, I said, I've got to use this in the message. Right. And visual aids work real good, don't they, sister? Yeah. It's got south and west and east. You know what the north says? God.
Cool.
And so a lot of Christians get the gospel preached to them. And I saw it just as soon as she handed it to me. God's right on time. Yeah. All right. And I just saw Christians, they get born again. They've been reached with the gospel. Yeah. And we got groups, and I'm not going to make people make fun of them. I'm not going to make fun of any denomination. I'm going to brag on them because I go into different denominations. But the Baptist people get more saved than any denomination that I know of. They will get you born again. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to thank God for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because I was under the Baptist when I got born again. Amen. Anybody in here, any Baptist background? Hey, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. Now, we should do our part. Y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
What's the other part, Brother Jerry? What's the other part of the gospel? Teach them.
Teach.
We should do, instead of mocking them, we should help them.
Yes.
They preach them, reach them, we teach them.
Yes.
That's the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
They preach to them, reach them. We teach them. Amen. Do our part. Work together. Amen. But a lot of Christians, once they get reached, they're like this compass, and they're all over the place. Even spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians. They don't know where in the world, you know, and this compass, and they it's like they can't find their inner compass like they want to. And that's why I don't judge people when they jump from church to church or job to job, because I know they're looking for something on the inside, actually. That's the deal. They're looking for it. I heard somebody say they're lost. You know you can be lost as a Christian. Let me define that. You can know who you are in Christ. You can be born again, but you don't have a home. 1 Corinthians 12, are we there? Verse 18, it says this right here. But now, somebody say now. God has set the members, everyone, somebody say everyone. If there was a title to this message, it would be everyone. The gospel belongs to everyone, and then once you receive the gospel, every one of you have a place in the body. Every one of you is important to God. Every one of you has a part to play in God's plan. Amen? Somebody say everyone.
Everyone.
Somebody say that means me. But now God has set the members, everyone, say everyone. That means me. One of them in the body as it has pleased him. Not as it pleased you. As it pleased him. I was in Pontotoc. Let me be specific. We was in South Pontotoc. And we was down there, and this fellow said, why do you go all the way? And finally, somebody asked me the hard question instead of my wife. Why do you go all the way to Oklahoma from Calhoun County, is where we actually lived at the time, to go to church? I said, well, because God led me there. He said, well, that don't make no sense. I said, well, if you're going to be a man, let's pull the pants up and talk like men. You have a Savior and not a Lord.
Right.
The reason I go to Church of Faith Outreach in Oklahoma is because the Lord says so. The Lord's leading me. He's my shepherd. You're good with Savior, not Lord.
Amen. That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
Amen? Amen. The reason that you drive so far to go to church is because the Lord says this is your set place. Amen? You got to get past the whiny baby stuff and just follow what the Lord said to do. Amen? We live in a culture of everything's got to be comfortable. I just came back from a country. It was negative 26 degrees, and the house was packed. And then I saw it, brother. They opened the doors after the first service, at 9:30 service. They had another service. They opened the doors, and people are packed in the hallway waiting for these folks to get out so they can get in. They've got three rows of coat hangers so they can. These ushers grabbing your coats because you've got to have some clothes on over there. And you hang them up. They want God.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
They ain't letting nothing stop them from getting to the house of God. Amen? Amen. We need to hear this, don't we?
Yeah.
We need to be in church. There's no such thing as being in church online. I understand that you can use online. I know online's good. You understand that. It reaches people that don't have access to our stuff. I understand that. But I'm talking about local church, the importance of it. And if you're a healthy and sound body, you know where you need to be on Sunday morning? In church. Amen? Too simple for anybody? It's a safe place.
Yeah.
It's a set place.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's go a little bit farther. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Can we handle just a little bit more here? Ephesians 4. How am I going to recognize when I get to my set place? Brother Jerry, how will I know? Well, there's stuff in the Bible that tells us. Ephesians 4. You have everybody under the sound of my voice that is a believer. How many believers do we have in here? How many that believe in the house is full? You've got a set place. You've got a place picked out by God where you're supposed to go to church. You believe that?
Yes.
This is not a wandering deal, you know, where we're trying to find. And it says it pleases Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Not as it pleases you. You won't find a perfect pastor. You won't find a perfect church, a perfect ministry. You need to be where God tells you to be.
Right.
Submit yourself, plug in, and start doing your part. You're going to find many things you probably disagree with, but just be mature enough to keep your mouth shut and grow a little bit, and you'll learn that maybe they had it right anyway. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Oh, me or something.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4:16 says this. Y'all there with me? Say Jesus if you're there.
Jesus.
From whom the body, we're talking about the body of Christ, talking about church. How am I going to recognize, Sister Dana, how am I going to recognize when I find my set place? From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Somebody else is doing this. It's God. The actual Greek says knit together. And I'll get ahead of myself a little bit. Once you get inside your set place, there'll be certain people in that congregation that God will just knit you together with.
Right.
You'll be a little bit more closer to them.
Right.
That's the Lord's working
right.
And connection, because God has given you a place for them in your heart, and He's also given them a place in their heart for you,
right.
And then He just knits it together.
Right.
You're connected.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
All right, fitly joined together, compacted, whichever joint supplies. Somebody say supply. First thing you're going to recognize when you get in your set place is a supply of the Spirit. And if you can't sense that when you pull in the parking lot out here, my Lord. And then you walk in these doors, what we were talking about earlier, you sense the love of God in this place. The love of God is in this place. You sense the supply of the Spirit. Amen. Somebody say supply.
Supply.
Keep reading. It says, supply according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. Somebody say every part.
Every part.
Say everyone.
Every part.
Every part. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Has a part.
Has a part.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Has a part.
Has a part.
Let's say it one more time.
Everyone.
Has a part.
Has a part.
Amen. All right, what is your part? We're going to get into that. Look, every part makes increase. The next thing you're going to see once you get into that set place is increase. And let me just go on a side journey. Let me give you three areas you'll see increase. You'll have more light. Mm-hmm. You'll have more provision in your finances. You don't believe it won't touch your finances. It will. All right, you will have more health. Amen. Brother Jimmy last Sunday was talking about the windows of heaven. Windows of heaven, when the windows are open, it gives you access in, and it also allows what's in there to get access to you.
Right.
And what's in heaven is light.
Right.
What's in heaven is abundant provision. Right. What we work and toil for, they walk on. And also, there's no sickness. And so also, he's got direct access for light, provision, and health.
Right.
All of that is in your set place. Amen? All right. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3. The next thing you'll find in your set place is a God-called, anointed pastor. And you will not be successful spiritually without a pastor. Amen? We got people that will say dumb stuff. Like, I hear from God myself. We just kind of do church here at the house, you know, brother. All right, well, that's, you know, I love you. But you ain't going to make it long like that. You got to have help. Somebody say, I need help. Maybe you don't know it, but I do. I know I need a pastor. Amen. Jeremiah 3, we're going to go a little bit further here. Jeremiah 3 and verse 15 says, I will give you pastors according to my heart. Let's stop right here. God will give you a pastor that will treat you like God himself would treat you. God will give you a pastor according to his heart. He'll shepherd you just like Jesus himself. Amen. Will he be perfect? No, but he will love you like Jesus loves you. He will shepherd you. What does it say? And which shall feed you. Somebody say, feed you.
Feed.
Somebody say, feed me.
Feed me.
The number one role of a pastor, feed the sheep. Let me say it like this, for the sheep, well, for the pastor's sake, but for the sheep to hear. The number one role of the pastor is not to please the sheep, but to feed the sheep.
Right.
People put demands on a pastor that are just unreasonable. His job is to shepherd you spiritually, to hear from God, and then take that, process it, and feed you with it. Amen? Amen. Should have a lot of respect for you, pastor. Amen? I salute you, sir. Because he's a pastor after God's own heart. If Brother Jimmy Bryant, I mean, he is a pastor after God's own heart. There's one thing about him and Miss Ann Bryant, they love their flock. They don't want nobody and will not tolerate anybody hurting or harming their flock. They are going to feed their flock. And then they have raised somebody that is going to do the same thing, Brother Jay Bryant. You need to look at him more as a minister and not just Jay. I can't stand that. I get away from it when people start doing it. It's Pastor Jay.